The Sample Axis, administered by Boyega and Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
All right, we're back to the Sample Axis podcast. This is episode 16, right?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man, I'm just enjoying myself
episode
right now.
Number 16, and it's nice. It's getting better.
Yeah, exciting.
I like the journey from episode 1, which was Sonia Spence.
Yeah.
How did it done?
And now we're here, episode 16.
Lord of Ajasa. Push that to episode number 3, Tokoya Labi,
yeah.
Magic System, Maintain Group.
I've had it almost all kinds of genres, but yeah. Like, because there's so many genres around, there's no way we can actually say we have touched everything.
I think we have mainly talked about Nigerian sounds.
Nigerian sounds.
That includes Afrobeats, Afro hip hop,
yeah.
You know, the early 2000s.
Early 2000s, and the likes, the Tribesmen.
Yeah,
the Caliphate.
We are one episode away from the international episode.
Yes, yes. Our next episode is supposed to be 17 and 18. Okay. So we are still far away from the
international
episode. But I'm looking forward to that one because there's actually something cool that we're supposed to have done.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those episodes where we talk about music that we actually did like in Nigeria,
yeah.
But wasn't a Nigerian song, mm-hmm. And was an American song or a song outside. Sometimes we don't know, like for example the Westlife, I didn't know for a long time that they were Irish.
They're not American. So
they
blew up where?
They blew up like in the UK, and then, you know, transcended all the way down to
the American market.
The American market, and now they're just so big and everything. So I mean, it's cool.
Is the US the biggest music market?
Of course
it
is. That's a no-brainer. But if you're thinking about how music has grown.
Yeah.
For example, now you think 80s.
Yeah.
80s, the UK were really big because there was black UK music.
Okay.
And people like Five Star, Billy Ocean.
Okay.
People like this guy, what's his name? Try My Love, Shinehead. We had obviously the Beatles. These are UK
80s.
Guys.
You're talking 80s.
Yeah, I'm talking 80s. UK guys.
What
I'm saying they've always been there.
What genre were the UK guys doing?
UK guys would call themselves, as at that time, African pop music.
Okay. Black UK
pop. Or they would say UK African pop music.
Beatles was what?
No, Beatles is just, you put them pop. Yeah,
Way back. I mean, what decade?
I'm talking 60s.
Oh, okay.
Because John Lennon was gone before. Oh. So, and then, yeah, I just, you know, I stumbled upon one of the things I've been wanting to talk about for a while. I'm so glad I remember now. Paul McCartney lived in Lagos for a year when he was doing his first solo album. There's a whole lot of story behind that.
Long ago.
I have a couple of stories about what happened that time, but we're not going to talk about
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney from the Beatles. Say Michael Jackson.
Was a member of the Beatles.
Yes.
And they reigned mainly in the 60s.
Yeah, 60s. And they were there in the 70s, but 60s was their time.
Yeah, major.
Regarded as one of, apart from Rolling Stone,
he lived in Lagos. I saw he was in the Fela documentary.
Yeah, he was
Finding Fela, and he talked so amazingly about
Fela. Because there was a time they were saying that he was in Nigeria to probably steal Nigerian sound, because you know Paul McCartney is,
what's wrong with that?
As at that time, you're talking about the 70s where everybody was, you know,
super
sensitive
conscious
about music. You don't want people to take off your sound somewhere else and make it sound. Now it's like we accept people coming in, and that's why the show we have today kind of cements what we're talking about
we'll
in terms of
that.
It's like at some point we said, okay, you know what, we can allow people enjoy our sound, but we're still going to give you that element.
Yeah,
I'm trying so much to not talk about whiskey, but I feel like he's going to, you know, find a way or to sting into the conversation.
Speaking about Paul McCartney, who lived in Lagos at some point, what was Nigeria's place in the global music scene in those times? At what point, what role was Nigerian music playing in the global space?
The Nigerian music, as at that time, Juju was a thing. It was actually very big, because I'm talking about people like King Sonny Ade. And he was already going out. Ebenezer Obey was already going, working with Atlantic Records at that time.
Albums in the 60s.
Fela was already dropping albums, but he had not dropped the major thing as at that time.
Fela's music started when?
Late 60s.
Late 60s, okay.
In late 60s, but he became relevant 72, 73. Because I remember that 77. I don't know whether I'm very sure, and I would need to like confirm, but for me, I feel like when you look at Fela's catalog, you think 77 is that point that turns everything around.
Yeah.
I feel like when he started working with Lacadé Niro, which we're going to talk about later on, that point, that was the, like, you know, that change from Ruffle Ruffle Fight to Shakara, then you now moved on to the crazy sounds of Fela.
Would that be Egypt 80s?
No. That's Africa 70s. Africa 70s. Africa 70s didn't stop till that Kpata music that time.
Okay.
Africa 70s stopped 1978. After that, Berlin 78.
Yeah.
When it went in massive crowd, because I don't know. Thinking about it, when you watch that fella's documentary, like about like 50 people were transported from Lagos, and in there just 25 people in the. But you know, it's the African vibe. I think that's what the video is doing now. When you think about it, the video is going everywhere.
I think that documentary. I enjoy that documentary.
Yeah, finding for that
for
great
many
work.
Reasons, especially because of Tony Allen's, you know, contributions. You know, other people contributed.
Yeah.
The fact that Tony Allen could tell those stories, you know, as a
There are a lot of stories that we can't talk about on the podcast. I feel like people should just
I was trying to make a point about, you know, Lagos and the music scene. Baba Victor Laya, at what point was he? I think it was in the 60s, before the 60s.
Yes.
Yeah, but essentially, I want to know if Baba Victor Laya went international at some point. I'm looking at how Nigerian music started going international.
It's like this. This is what I think made Nigerian music go international. Nigerians are everywhere.
Yeah.
So we're always going to call for
especially
our people.
In the UK.
Look at Kwame, for example. King Wasuandi Bashar. That man is going to go anywhere in the world
and find Nigerians
to perform for. So that kind of like made our music, you know, it's like high life.
Mm.
High life is what it is today, refined by, I feel like, you know, this episode, I don't know, I just have that energy.
Like,
it's going to be great. Because, you know, high life, I don't want to digress too much, but let's talk about it ASAP. High life is where it is today because of the Ghanaians moved to Nigeria to drop the sound.
50s or 60s?
60s. Drop the sound. It became a thing after the Civil War, 67 to like 70. That's where high life became a thing in Nigeria.
Mm.
Now, when you check most of the high life sounds, 67, and high life music is beautiful.
Mm.
Now, we have it in a modernized way now with the cavemen.
Mm.
There's this song, Beautiful Rain, amazing song. That song gives me goosebumps every single time.
Mm.
And that's to show you how progression of music, because if the Ghanaians had not come all the way down here to play their music, we would not know them.
Yeah.
Same way with Nigerians. Nigerians are in Siberia. Nigerians are in Russia. Nigerians are in Finland. Nigerians are
in New Zealand.
You understand? And these places, sometimes they'll perform, you know, some little concerts, and people would go around. Music is, you want to feed off music every single time. People just want to go listen to something new and get off the vibe and say, this is great. And that made Nigerian music become a thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's this particular sound I've been hearing for a long time. Juju music. And then it becomes, then this RCA Records, the Sonys, they come around and they are poaching our people here, taking the Ebenezer Obeys out of the country, taking King Sonny out of the country, showing them to white audiences. I mean, at first, it was probably slacky, but, like, you know, it became a thing.
There's a story about, you know, the record labels at the time not being really Nigerian. Perhaps maybe Nigerians couldn't afford the system.
Obviously.
For music distribution, music recording, all of those things. And, you know,
even to date, we still need those people to help us with distribution.
So you need folks. You have folks come down. I know not so much, but I hear about Premier Music.
Oh, yeah. Tambasi Records in Onitsha.
Deka.
Yeah, Deka Records. Yeah, those ones weren't just that big. And there was this, as at the time where Murray Bruce was still making music.
Mm.
At the time, I was still making music. That's Ecstasy. I don't know. A lot of people might not know Ecstasy. Saleko, Big Sound, and Ejeka Joe.
Yeah.
Nah, I just remember that song was sampled by somebody else.
Oh, wow.
Ejeka Joe.
I know.
And it was 84. Now, those guys were the big guns at that time. I think Premier Records were on the island. Tambasi had, they had the spot in Badagry, but they were originally based in Onitsha.
Yeah.
Talking about anybody you can think about, Verma Rioge. Verma Rioge, Tambasi Records. Tina Onwudigwe. Now, I'm saying this name, I probably am not saying it right, but you take it like that, Onwudigwe or Onwudigwe.
She's from where?
She's Igbo.
Okay.
So sad, Igbo, and I can't pronounce it. But like Onwudigwe, I'll just say Onwudigwe. And she was also in Tambasi Records. You know, a lot of people that worked at that time, I think at some point,
do you
recorded,
remember what record label Oyinka Wenu was with?
No, I can't exactly.
But I
think they were affiliated with Tambasi, because Tambasi did most of the work at that point. Majek Fashek had a stint with Tambasi. Even though Majek Fashek, he was a promiscuous person when it comes to record labels.
Yeah,
it was Island Records. You know, it was jumping everywhere.
Let's leave these stories to the senior men.
Let them talk about it. Let's just get back to it.
So we're back for Sample Access Podcast, episode number 16. That was just, you know, an open
preamble.
preamble to, you know, open up the talk. We have another quartet today. We have World in the conversation for the first time.
Oh, God, I'm so excited talking about World right now.
World in the conversation for World, the first time.
World, man.
W-U-R-L-D. And then, you know, we're talking...
Sashino Peters. I felt like this was coming at some point.
Yeah, it was going to come.
It was coming at some point, so and yeah, this is the time.
We're going to the UK.
Yeah, Grime UK. Grime. Because
how do you differentiate?
These guys have a theme, but I think it's grime. I think grime is more pop, did it up, stuff like that. And then the drill is like, I don't know, completely different.
Okay, this is my opportunity to say this. I've never lied. not like, it's not like I hate, but I just don't connect with the UK rap. My understanding or my early closeness or my approach or my first interactions with hip-hop is so American in a way that there's a purity with boom bap hardcore hip-hop music when you listen to folks like a song like this is like my own when I try to, you know, do a hierarchy of solid hip-hop jams.
Okay,
Hate Me Now Nas, that is my
height.
That's all the height for me.
All right,
if you're going above that, I respect you a lot. So
all right.
Hate Me Now Nas is my definition of hip-hop music. Nowadays you can start to say Afro hip-hop, you can start to say Dilution and all that. Even in America there's Dilution. So when I cannot connect you to that sound, I look at you a type of way. So when UK guys, I'm starting to connect with Stormzy, particularly because I just want to know what the buzz is about, what, you know, heavy is the head, listen to the album, I watch his performances, and I see him selling shows, and what I can tell is that he's able to connect to people on a different level in terms of speaking what's happening in the streets, being politically incorrect, speaking on issues that affect, you know, people, and then he vocalizes too.
Yeah,
he does melodies. So that's on one side, but when I see people jumping up drill, then I don't know, the English language spoken in the UK kind of, because there's this
takes away the effect of the hip,
because the Americans hop already put this kind of English language.
Yeah,
hip-hop music is like the signature language, so when you come with something different, it's hard for me to connect.
Yeah, I understand that, because for somebody like me, you know, I grew up listening to rap music a certain way, so that's why it's very hard for me even to date. I know there's H or A-I-I-T-C-H, H or H, I don't know what it is, H or H, I don't know.
That's the name of an
artist in the UK, and it's really good. I like his stuff. I know Reg 32.
Made a song with,
I know Reg 32. I like Reg 32.
I
listened to Wiley while I was growing up too.
Yeah.
So Wiley's good. But like, I grew up listening to people like Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., Method Man, Red, Rakim. Now, when I think, when you know, you said something about the peak.
Yeah.
For somebody like me, when you listen to stuff like...
What's Love?
Juice.
Okay.
Peak for me. Original hip hop, the idea of sampling, one of the best things that have ever been done. What you gonna do? Do for love. Bobby Clap Down was sampled by Tupac and it was done amazingly. Where Eric B did something with Rakim too as at that time, and that's like proper hip hop to me,
because
that's what I grew up listening to.
So
and then I accepted the trap thing for a while, but after a while I felt like no, this is wrong. But the thing is, it's okay for us to accept that music is going to develop or evolve past where it was or something. I mean, like, look at it, like, rap music was not supposed to last 5 years. I say this all the time. Rap music is over 40 years and still going. And it's because of the evolution.
We have genres that have come and gone.
Yes, now. Yes, we have a couple of genres.
Sure?
New Jack Swing, one I can think of top of my head. Nobody does New Jack Swing anymore. Nobody does New Jack Swing anymore.
Samples of it.
No, they do samples of it, obviously.
Can we say it morphed into EDM?
Morphed
into EDM. So it never really went away.
But like the genre itself is not regarded. And EDM is even quite a stretch, but you understand that EDM comes from that, you know, merging a whole lot of things together.
Yeah.
Because when you talk New Jack Swing is disco, jive, gospel, rap, everything infused in one.
Yeah.
And then
so
you have,
say that is gone.
Yeah, that is
rock
gone.
Rock has always been here.
Yeah, rock. Yeah. Rock. No, rock has not always been here.
When
we had rock came in different ways. We had psychedelic rock. Psychedelic rock came in first. Then we started listening to the soft rock.
How early?
Then the metal, like 70s.
David Bowie, what year? What decade?
David Bowie, you know, David Bowie can still lie around the 80s. David Bowie was big. When MTV came out the first time, David Bowie was one of those people they showed all the time.
And rock is still here.
Yeah,
solid.
Still rock. Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. Because they have a particular set of people that enjoy it. R&B is still around, and that's why we have this one that we're going on first. you know, World Contagious.
Let's name the quartet again because we didn't complete it.
All right, so World Contagious.
World Sampling, Sir Shino Peters, and then
Davido sampling Kojo Funds.
Kojo Funds, who is a grime rapper. Or rapper.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to it immediately. World, Sadiq Onifade.
That's his name.
Nigerian, lived here for a while, left the country, I think, at the age of 13 or 14 to further his studies abroad, and he's an amazing musician. And I don't know why people don't rate him as much, because I feel like he has only a small following, and I feel like that's not good.
But regardless, people respect his work.
He's amazing.
Cannot disrespect
his writing. Is amazing. His choice of words is amazing. His vocals, amazing. I remember the first time, I'm sorry I'm taking this off you, because I knew you wanted to talk about it first, but like, it's coming to me right now. The first time I heard Show You Off, I was in a state of, I don't know.
What's this man's name?
Higgy Haga.
Patrick
Obaya. I was in a state of Whoop-Top Mem 2. Because
I passed up in the ghetto.
Yeah. Because I don't know how to express
you
this.
You have to. If you were washing your plates, or maybe you were washing your clothes, or
yeah,
doing something,
you would pause.
Hold on. Because
same thing.
I heard on radio. Let me say my own story before you continue your story. You know, you listen to his radio, and radio plays 4 songs in a row. Ident, advert, back to music. 4 songs. When you're listening to songs back to back like that, it's easy for you to You hear this one, I'm like, okay.
Not so bad.
Okay. But when you hear that one,
you're
like, hold on.
Yeah.
Wait. What's up? And then you are going to, if you were maybe speaking to someone, you say, wait. Let me listen. That was what I did.
Yeah.
When I heard Show You Off, it was in FSD, bad one. I was, I think 2015, 2016. Has to be 2016. I'm not very sure.
Okay.
And then I listen. I'm like, wait. And this was only the time where you had direct access to YouTube like that.
Yeah.
People. So I was like, who was this? I think I went to their Twitter to check the playlist to be sure of the name. And I was able to, I'm not sure I got it. I'm not very sure, but I knew, okay, this is Show You Up, the title. Whenever I wanted to listen, I would find Show You Up.
I went crazy on that path of checking for
music,
who this guy is. Mm. So this is what happened. I'll tell you the story. It's almost, I don't think I've ever told the story about, or I've said it on Sample Access, about the first time I heard Atlantic Star.
Okay.
Shiva Shadow.
I think we said it once.
I said some, but like, I didn't say it fully. So I'll just say this one fully. This is what happened. Okay, I was in the house playing loud music, obviously, from MTV Base. I was in the house and the music was really loud. One of those days where, you know, the music's loud and you don't care. So I was just there, you know, the music were playing back to back. And then I just heard this song. It's cheesy. I'm like, wait up. What's
the
this?
Beat is nasty.
Yeah, and then that's
speaking of combo.
Doom,
the song has to be great.
Vocal
performance has to
be. Yeah, it has to be.
And then the beat is solid.
Solid. So I immediately looked at the screen and I was like, and this is exactly what happened. I'm not even going to joke. That's why I felt like World was part of Major Lazer for a long time. Hmm. So the first name I see on the screen is not World.
Yeah.
First name I see on the screen is featuring Sheezy and Walshie Fire.
Okay.
So that's the name that stuck in my head. Because I was too psyched about the song.
World already,
yeah, probably showed World. I didn't see, but like, oh, my mind was not just there. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. You know, they always show them at the left bottom corner.
Yeah.
So I just, that's what I saw last.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the name is about to go off and then you see Walshie. Yeah, yeah. And I just wrote it down. I'm like, okay. And I listened to the song. And I didn't pay attention enough to listen to the song till the end.
And you didn't have Shazam.
Yeah, I didn't have Shazam at the point. So I just went on my phone, Walshie Fire. And then I see Walshie Fire is a part of Major Lazer.
Oh, okay.
So in my head, I just cemented, Sheezy worked with Major Lazer. So I'm like, this guy has to be a part of Major Lazer. Hmm. I thought it was weird because he had like the blue hair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is cool. And then I didn't, because you know, there are some times that the song will hit you so much, you don't even know how to search for the song. You just want to take it in.
Digest it.
I'm like, okay, this is really good. And the later on, I started looking for Walshie Fire. I didn't see anything relating to Show You Off.
Yeah.
That was my first time of actually going through Major Lazer's entire catalog. And I'm like, these guys were good. These guys are really good.
Major Lazer is nasty.
So I was going on through. And then after a while, I decided to go back to Sheezy. And then like 2 weeks later, I stumbled on the song again. Now
on
this
TV,
time I saw World.
Okay.
It was on TV as well. This time I saw this one. I was even somewhere else and I heard the song. I had to run all the way because I wanted to see the name, and I was lucky enough to catch it.
Mm.
And I went on, I'm like, this guy, as at that time, he was almost not relevant. He didn't have so much out there.
It was probably
when it was 2016.
Single, I'm sure he had more. But
yeah, he had more, but like this was one single that we knew at that point.
Before I say this, there's a phenomenon that I'm trying to craft a name or a term for right now, which is the first listen phenomenon.
Yeah.
When you listen to a song the first time, if it's a good song, you can tell. There is no
ASAP.
There is no doubting. There is no, let me listen again. When it's a vibey song and it connects, you know. One example of that I saw recently, and that goes into the creation. And I'm sure the teams who make these things happen, the producers, the video directors, they know what catches people.
Exactly.
And they know how to get you. So I'm sure they put that in the writing, in the production, in the everything, you know. Levitation, Dua Lipa, Da Baby.
I've listened.
That song has a first listen.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I was watching.
Dua Lipa, do you know she sampled that song?
It's fine.
Story for another day.
Yeah, another day.
Yep.
So I was watching, I think Sound City. I was watching on TV and I saw it. And then it caught me. If a song I had never seen before is making me want to dance, I can, you know, ride with it. And then Da Baby, I tweeted one time and I said, Dua Lipa made Da Baby switch his flow.
Yeah, so I saw that.
Has a signature flow,
and he didn't do that.
He was vibey. It was so cool. The video matched the energy, and I love that. Back to World, 2016. I'm sure it was probably not getting all the attention, but that song was the first song. And then I wonder how he was able to, because that video, the song, I'm sure was made in the US.
Yes, it was made in the US.
Video shots in the US. He probably came back. Able to reconnect to
when
Nigeria?
He came back for a while.
Made an album with SARS.
He came back and obviously took up that mantle. Remember I said in our last episodes where you could be an artist for 5 years, 6 years, but when it's time that your song actually goes
viral,
you become an upcoming artist again.
Hmm.
And then it's crazy because you're like, yo, I've been in this game for over 5 years.
But then you're going to
nobody notices that. Because at the time, obviously, after that time, I was stuck on World. The show you off, I listened over and over again. And for a while, like 2 years, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what was going on. Even the time people started listening to World and SARS, I was lost.
World and SARS was just 2019.
2019, yeah. But as that was when World became a thing for people.
Between 2016.
Although that was Love is Contagious, right?
Contagious. Between 2016, 2017, and 2019, I'm sure he was doing stuff.
He was doing stuff, but I'm saying the stuff he was doing, they were not loud enough.
He won Headies.
Yeah, in 2019.
Best vocal performance in 2019.
I'm going to say something about
for a song titled Wishes and Butterflies.
Yeah. Good song.
Which tells you that he was working.
Yeah, he was.
Before the SARS Connect. So, what's his music?
Yeah,
like?
He was. Because the song we're talking about, the SARS Connect, wasn't even there yet.
Oh, okay.
So, but obviously, he created a relationship with Sheezy and kept up. Yes. And that Sheezy relationship led to something else, which would happen later on in the future, which is like a great jam.
Is that A Better Time or A Good Time?
A Good Time.
Okay.
Blow My Mind.
Yeah.
Wasn't on the album. It wasn't on the album.
It was 2019 too.
Yeah, it wasn't on the album.
He definitely had a great year.
Yeah, he had
making
a great year.
Amazing music.
And when people were fussing about him at that time,
yeah,
I was confused because I'm like,
what's he about?
I know this guy at time, but like, what did he do now that is making him such a big deal?
Yeah, let's go to the song Contagious. But before that, his genre is what? R&B?
R&B.
But then he started
doing pop.
Afropop.
Not Afropop.
Afrobeats.
Afrobeats, Afro Juju. Because this one is called Afro Juju.
You don't call it Afro Juju anymore because Burna already gave it a definition.
No, we don't call it. This one is Afro Fusion.
It's Afro Fusion. Fusing Afro Juju with Afrobeat. Is there something like
that? Would you say Afrobeat was very evident in this?
Was it?
In this
was
Contagious
it too fast
song?
For Afrobeat?
No, it was too fast. You know, I've already said something. And I'm saying this again. Maybe people have never heard me say this before. I feel like because Fela was the pioneer of Afrobeats, all of Fela's songs, I can't think of any Fela song that was too hyped, like in terms of high beat or up tempo.
There was a few.
But the real ones, remember, ODOO, Vagabonds in Power, Shakara, all of them, even though they had...
Shakara was fast.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Even though they had like a certain flow, when it got to that point, there was this laid backness that was in that song.
Yeah.
Even though Shakara, Olu, Jane, yeah, still, you still calm down.
Can you hear?
No.
Shakara.
Nah, that was the piano, Shakara's madness came from the piano.
Okay.
And that was Fela playing on the piano.
Not the drums.
Tony Allen did crazier stuff with, you know, audio. I think audio, I've said that a lot of times. People don't understand. Listen to audio. Even though that was 1990, I think Tony Allen had an influence in that song.
Don't overtake.
But then you listen to Mistake. Mistake was great. Oh, yeah, back to World.
Genre? How do we define it?
Yeah, that's what I say. World would be Afropop. I think Afropop just suits him more. Because Afropop allows him to be able to be everywhere.
But the EP he did with Sazes.
That's different. That's Afrobeats. Afrobeats, but yeah, Afrobeats. And I think let's call it Afrofusion. There's Mad, there's Trouble.
Speaking of Saz,
he's doing a lot of stuff.
The song with Whiskey, that's probably my best Whiskey song before LMA came through.
Which song that?
Sweet Love.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's so. Afrobeat. That's the most Afrobeat of Afrobeats.
I don't know.
That's for me. This generation.
I think Ojulegba has to be the most Afrobeat.
No,
of Afrobeat.
Bro. Hold on. Ojulegba was not as busy as Sweet Love.
Oh, yeah. In terms of how busy it was.
If I'm going to
be putting the fella influence
it was
on the music.
So all of the elements in Sweet Love.
Yeah.
Man, I love
the
that.
The fella
song.
Idea. Because, I don't know. I'm trying to run away from fella, but I feel like since we're talking about. We're heading towards an innovation of sound.
Yeah,
you have to call Fela, and I'll get to that now. Fela had this thing with busy instrumentals, but sounded amazing.
Yeah,
and that came from James Brown. Busy instrumentals, but sounds amazing. Now back to Afro Juju, 1989. Sassino Peters does something crazy, cause everybody was on the Juju flow. They were on the relax man. You know, just come around, do the Fuji, not so crazy. Fuji was. Just a year old as at that time,
because
sure? Fuji was 1988, the first time of Fuji
what
becoming a big thing. That should be Sir Ainde Barista now. SAB. Yeah, that should be like that pioneer sound that says Fuji is a thing.
The album.
Although,
Fuji Garbage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's Fuji Garbage from 88. Yeah, 1988. Yeah, that's it. That's 1988. And weirdly, that was the same time New Jack Swing came out. Story for another day. Yeah, and then there's Afro Juju. Now I'm going to tell you my story about this song.
Okay.
My father is a big fan, so this is quite personal for me.
Yeah.
One of those songs that are really personal. Yes, my father was crazy music fan. He listened to everything. One day I was talking to a friend and realized how much I've listened to. I'm like, my father tried for me. Because he was asking me, oh, Nelson, what song did you grow up on? I'm like, wait, chill, let me tell you something.
I have to give you this.
Sit down, you have to get this. You see, my popsy would play Sassino Peters on Monday, and I would listen to the Commodores on Tuesday, and on Wednesday I would listen to Olaomi Montiyoshe, cause my mom would always play sounds like that. Yes, and then on a Thursday I would listen to sounds like, I don't know, Jackson 5, Kool and the Gang, and on a Friday I would listen to jazz, any Watts, you know, Earl Clog. You know, so it was too much, you know, but I enjoyed doing every part of that. I like, my childhood was amazing. Now talking about my first experience with Afro Juju, my popsy had always, because at that time my popsy already noticed that I was big on music and I enjoyed the sound I was getting at that point, because I was getting different sounds all the time. So he would encourage me and tell me, you know, there's this new sound that I don't think I've heard of before, I'm going to play this song for you. So my popsy got the video. My first time of listening to Sassino Peters was watching the video. Now, I laughed throughout that video because I remember those women were really trying to dance and they were so rigid because they're like, you know, okay, we're going to do this.
Yeah. And I'm sure they were the same way you have choreographers now, you know, they would go and hire choreographers. This is what we want. We want this to be a trend.
Yeah, and
it's going to be a challenge.
You have to do that.
Ijo Yoyo.
Yeah.
Alaji Kolinti Anyila, that was a bop. If you still watch the video now, they created music with, you know, the dance element has to come with
it.
So yeah, Afro Juju.
And Afro Juju became a big thing because it was, I think it hit people unexpectedly.
Because
that's what my popsy tells me at that time. My popsy's like, this song came out of nowhere. Everybody was too relaxed. And the only songs that would make you pop were the jivey sounds.
And then it went
of
wild,
80s.
Yeah.
And then, do you know the first time I saw the video, it reminded me of Gap Band. I don't know whether you know Gap Band. Not Gap really. Band is what's his man name? Charlie Wilson. Charlie Wilson. Bun Rubber. No, that's OJ's. That's the OJ's. That's the Love of Money.
Okay.
There's this Gap Band song, Bun Rubber. I used to love that video when I was younger. All the videos that I got to see from Unleashed the 80s. Yes, I'm an old chap. I saw that video and they had this. Now you know why I think of that video. I think in that video they had this jacket on, shiny.
Oh,
now that's why I think of Gap Band when I think, because I remember Sashino Peter was one of the shiny guy. Although I saw the first video I saw was like they were in a concert kind of. So he was playing the piano while he was directing his band to go on. I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was an amazing sound.
Speaking of shiny clothes and pressing the piano, there's a man I really love. Came out, I'm sure, perhaps late 80s, but was famous around 92, 93.
Who's
that? Fabulous Faje Morocco.
Oh, okay.
He was like the... you compare him to Shino Peters.
Okay.
At some point. There is Dayo Kujore.
I know that name.
Yeah.
I know that name
I'm not very sure about this, but I know that from Shino Peters Blazing the Trail, breaking out, you know, them Baba, Soniade, and Obe,
yes,
and them YK Ajao, and everybody else, General Prince Adekunle, was doing this laid back juju music, playing for the Babas. And then this guy comes out with this DJ. I want you people to dance by force.
Yeah.
And then that takes, I'm sure Owambe music nowadays connects to these guys, Shino Peters, Dayo Kujore, Faje Morocco.
I know Dayo Kujore.
They were the, you know, fresh guys.
Yeah,
they
coming around, doing sound different.
Bringing new energy to the music industry.
Yeah, and thinking about it, when you look at the credits on this song, first of all, I would like to say big ups to Shino Peters for coming up with that idea of that kind of sound, because you could see, if you watch that video very well, you see that he was organizing that sound. Like he knew what he wanted to share. Yeah,
there's a good story about there's a solid story. I listen to a lot of Wesco. Wesco talks about the fact that Shino Peters was working with Sashina Adekunle. In fact, they were working together at some point.
Okay, yeah.
And then he left. So he played the guitar with Sashina's band, Sashina Adekunle, Adekunle's band at some point before he left. So
he had learned from the best of the best. So he understood music. So exactly, because you could see that this arrangement was quite different. As at that point, where people were listening to laid back music, coming up with a sound like that was beautiful, out of the norm. And even as at that point, because I'm sure now one way or the other, you feel like he was influenced also by Fela being able to do something extra. As at that time, because
High Life was popping,
and then jazz was popping, and then he just broke out and did something entirely different, and people, you know, jumped on it. But I don't feel like Afro Juju got enough attention, because it was like he hugged the music. It's not like he didn't allow other people to do it, so that people couldn't jump on it as much. You understand? Maybe if it was a different sound now, maybe people jump on it as much. I mean, look at it now. We have what, how many years? 30 years in difference. Now, Contagious is actually called Afro Juju Modern Sound.
That's what the genre.
That's what the genre for.
Do we know if World coined this or industry?
No. Obviously, I think industry people actually coined it, because the moment you hear the first two beats, like two measured up beats in the song, you're like, okay, the only person I can think about is boom, Shino Peters.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. I don't like when a genre kind of like points to only one person.
Yeah,
it makes the genre really scanty, like not so much.
But then it's easy.
But sometimes it takes years.
But then it tells you about the uniqueness of the person.
Yeah, that did the sound.
Who is credited to be the author and, you know, the beginner of the sound.
And also, big ups, because I said we're going to talk about this man. I don't know if people have noticed, whenever we call production credits, we always, when it comes to the older guys like Sain, the Barista, I know we have not done Lijado Sisters, which is coming up very soon. Now, just remember, we have to do Lijado Sisters. And then there's also the Fela sound. And the big guns of the 80s and the 80s and early 90s, you would always hear a name, engineer behind all this. Lacadie Niro. Lacadie Niro, his catalog is
solid.
Wild. You're like, how did he work? Ebenezer Obey, Lacadie Niro.
He was a Smokey Robinson.
Exactly. You know, although Smokey Robinson was always in the studio.
And was vocalizing.
He was vocalizing. But this man was just engineering these people. And I'm like, he probably knew so many great people. Yeah. Like, I know this guy, and they were hustling, bro. And
he was a hustler. I saw a video of Lijia Dee Sisters recording.
Yeah.
They were sweating.
I mean, that's a big deal.
They were very young, and then you can tell that they're in this studio where, man, this is hard to do.
Yeah.
It's not like the Dr. Dre or...
where everything is all set up. You know, you have an AC, you call me, you have a booth.
And then there is a record label going to pay you, yeah, you know, making things
work. I mean, they're paying for your
Jimmy
sessions.
Jimmy Iovine and all that.
Yeah.
The industry here was, you know, hard to... and look at it. They are not making all that... some of them, you know, were able to make some good money,
mm-hmm,
at the time. But look at that.
Yes,
look at that era. How many of them
actually broke out and became a big
and
thing?
And up to today, making solid money.
Yeah.
Apart from the ones who were still performing. I'm sure, you know, King Sunny Ade, the king of, you know, music here,
mm-hmm,
still goes for shows up to date.
Yes, yes, yes.
2021.
Still gets shows.
And still gets shows, still performs, and I'm sure... royalties are coming in.
I don't know about a lot of sound engineers now, but I feel like, you know, the new guys that are coming up, it would be really cool for sometimes you guys to pay tribute. I don't know how they can do that, because we pay tribute to musicians all the time, but we don't talk about the sound engineer guys.
Mm.
And they do a really great job. I know, like, you know, maybe spray it on the mix and then all those. And then imagine now, just imagine this, that Laka De Niro had Laka De Niro in all the songs.
Hmm.
That he engineered.
Like Sheezy.
Oh, it would have been madness.
Because
then you say every song, you know. Same thing I used to tell my partner, Bass from the Past, Jude Nobeme. I would say, if Teddy Riley and Babyface had Teddy Pace, Teddy Riley, Babyface, on any song in the 90s, 98% of the song in the 90s
but then
came
people,
from these guys.
Before we play the songs, people know their places. Some people, I see it a lot, people say that there is no need for producer tags. Because nowadays,
it's kind
people
of,
are saying it's too busy. The label has their tag.
Mm-hmm.
The producer puts his or her tag. The mix engineer puts it, and then it becomes too busy. So people are saying there's no need for it.
Yeah, there's no need.
Because
not
everybody would be in the limelight. The artist
is
the face of the music, puts his face there. But the engineer gets his credit, you know, written somewhere in the you know, album art or whatever. And then he gets royalties for his work. So
royalties is very important thing
for his work. So the fact that Laka De Niro's name is not out there doesn't mean, you know, he wasn't appreciated. I'm sure he was, with the capacity of what was available at the time.
And
then let me just use this to wrap up. This man called Godwin Tom, I read something he wrote like 2018 on Twitter. Talked about he was working for artists as a manager, but he didn't build his own brand. So people see the artist, but they don't see the behind the scenes guys. So those who work in that space now should think of themselves as a brand, so that when you are going out there, there is, you know, documentation. There's a way you carry
yourself.
Yeah,
there's a way. There's something that documents that
if
I was
you
actually
need
here.
Media attention or media rounds, push for it if you must.
Exactly.
You know, so that people know the people who are behind the hard work. So
yeah,
that's how you place yourself. You are not the artist, but then you place yourself as a brand, so that people credit you, give you your credit as necessary.
I feel like there's no enough time for us to actually talk
I
about
mean,
this.
We're
people.
Almost 40 minutes in.
We just like to just
this is just part one of
part
the show.
One of the show. So basically, we just get onto it immediately, so you can listen to it and enjoy yourself.
Yes, if in case you have been lost in the conversation and you're like, what are these guys saying? We are saying that World on the song Contagious
sampled
Sashino Peter's
Afro Juju's main sound,
which is easy when you play
when
it
you
now.
Play it, you'll be able to understand.
It's just with the beats, the bass,
the
of
bass.
The song.
Yeah, that's the song. It's like, and why it's more exciting is because this is like a borrowed genre, as it is. I think that's a good word for it, because this is a genre that's not been touched in so long. And then somebody pops out from somewhere and says, you know what, I'm going to borrow this sound again. You understand? And that's why it's amazing.
You were talking at some point on one of the episodes about there are some samples that are so good that need to be brought back. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
in Nigerian music, maybe Alexito.
Exactly. There are some songs that are so good that I feel like they need to be touched.
There's a song. Tell your mama, tell your papa.
Yeah. That's
life,
I think,
go better for. I can just imagine that as a TikTok challenge, like we had. Put my hand on.
Oh yeah.
So someone should do.
Go.
Tell your mama, tell your papa.
I mean,
tell your papa.
I mean, and it's informed by Felix Liberty. We are
looking forward to major stuff. Olamide and Mama Agnes.
Yeah, that would be something to work on.
Yeah.
All right. So this is World Contagious, produced by Sheezy from the album Love Is Contagious from the year 2019. Sashino Peters, Ace Afro Juju, produced by the band, engineered by Lacadiniro, from the album Ace Afro Juju Series 1, 30 years.
1989
to
2019. Wow.
Big time.
30 years.
Yeah, we'll be back on the Sample Access podcast after you listen to this.
Welcome back to Sample Access. You just listened to World Contagious sampling Sashino Peters from 1989, you know, 30 years apart. Amazing music traveling through 30 years, coming back to our ears. I'm sure younger folks who probably don't know will hear the story somehow that this beat is actually from a particular year.
We're letting them do that. We're letting them know that now.
Yeah, for real. Tell your friends.
From our sounds, they're like, yeah, okay, you know what? This beat came from somewhere.
Yeah, that's it. So let's move quickly into the other half of the show. Not exactly half. Now
we're a quarter
left. Davido sampling Kojo Fun.
Now, this, I have to tell you the truth. Yeah. First of all, this is like the closest we have done in terms of sampling. It's 2016, 2017.
Too close.
But you know, sometimes we need to talk about music like this. And the reason why I feel like we should have talked about this, we're just going to give them a little bit and just move straight to the sound, because we know we're still going to have to touch on the video again.
Yeah.
At some point. So don't let us give you too much. Davido 4, his second biggest song in 2017.
Yeah. After,
If was the number one.
If was so global. Big.
Yeah. And then came up with 4. And then Like That came in like
there was Like That, and then there was Fire.
Yeah. 4 songs actually.
Wait, it wasn't Fire. Was it Fire? I'm not sure again.
No, I don't think it's Fire.
Hold on. What year did Fire come? The year that had Assurance.
Yeah, Assurance is that year. Yeah. 2018, 2019. But 2017 as a big year, remember, If was out in February.
Yeah.
And then 4 was out in like June or July.
There was the other one, or did you just call it Like That?
Yeah, that, I think that was later. Yeah. Later,
no, that was an amazing year. That was perhaps the start of
Davido as hits. The smash hit singles.
Because before
guy.
That, we have had aye.
Yeah, we had songs like that.
We had all.
Can
of
I
you.
Say something though? Can
yeah,
I say something
yeah,
though?
Let's go.
I feel like we probably don't say this enough, but Davido kind of cemented a place in Nigerian industry.
For real?
2017.
Maybe. I don't know about the year.
He was okay years before, which we're going to explain later on.
But that very year.
Because Davido has been active since 2010. Mm-hmm. Although his first single that became a thing back when it came out 2011.
Mm.
But the year that cemented this guy is the guy was 2017.
He's a monster.
That this guy. No, you know, he's like this. It's good.
He's there.
It's good. It's all right. It's there. But that year, it's like this.
Sixth.
Look at that. Look at what we have. Burna Boy has been upped in 20 from 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Burna Boy became that guy 2018.
When?
Yeah.
Hold on. I don't know if I agree, but Burna Boy.
Like, he became that guy. Like, okay, this is it. He's a monster.
Are you sure that wasn't Soke?
Nah. Burna Boy was good. No,
you
no,
saw that
no,
was
no,
in
no.
Dogon.
See,
Gon.
It's like this. I'm trying to not be biased, because truth be told, I've always been a big Burna fan from Like to Party Days.
These three guys have always been.
Let's talk about it. Let's do turning points. Let's do turning points.
What year was the Whiskey the year?
Ojo Legba, obviously. 2014.
2014?
Yeah. Ojo Legba, obviously. That was the turning point.
When Drake jumped on the remix.
Yeah. And the thing was,
we knew this is it.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the thing.
One dance.
That didn't mean that Whiskey wasn't good way before.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the Superstar album that made him a big star in Nigeria.
Bakurumo
and the likes, and everything was going on.
And it was really good.
And everybody could have been like, I'm a Whiskey fan.
Everywhere.
I'm a Whiskey fan. But Ojo Legba
was the definition.
Was that churn. And you're like, you know what? This is it. This guy is a monster. And he's the king of Afrobeats for the new age. Then we have Davido. Davido was okay. In fact, great. But like that point, that fall,
I'm not sure there was anybody else.
Nobody was doing major music that year.
There was Tekno actually. Tekno Spanner was everywhere too.
Yeah, but that song went crazy.
Tekno did.
Do you know, I still don't understand what they did to make If bigger than it was. I'm saying this from a music sound guy. Beautiful sound.
Are you saying If was bigger than every other song, or what?
Yes, If was bigger than every other song.
Yeah, truly.
But I'm like, I don't know what they did, and how they made people connect. Because the only thing about it,
I think there was an international connection to it.
Yeah, maybe not, because I don't think the song itself. I don't think that was
Davido's
best song. Let me just say that.
Hold on. I'm trying to see if I can answer why If was this that year. The beat. And the way it connects. If I'm in the club.
Big ups to Tekno for Eve though.
And that beat drops. There is a vibe to it. I think everybody was doing.
That was the beginning of
Okay. I think everybody was doing, all right, good song. I love it. But when Eve drops, there is a certain energy to it. So
yeah.
That was the definition of that song. If I tell you, boom, boom, and then.
Boom, boom.
So there was something about it that made it special. And then. I think Whiskey took a break at that point. Maybe sounds from the other side was it.
Everybody was quite low key.
But everybody was in on that level.
Yeah.
If was everywhere. And when a song is in the streets, it's undeniable, radio would jam the out of it.
I have to say this, man. Big ups to the video. 2017 was the, I don't know about other people, but 2017 was the year
was
for
my,
me.
That was my
with the video. I'm like, this is madness. He kept on dropping. And at some point, I was like, why do I like these songs so much?
And there's something about consistency. When this one is doing well, jam another one.
Yeah.
Drop another one. Finish them.
I don't know how I am with that. I have like a different idea.
Yeah, but then towards music when you are in an environment, I'm sure Davido is an environment.
I don't like oversaturation of music.
Well, you might not.
I like to long for music sometimes.
But that's
sometimes.
That is the code in Nigerian music. Who else has done it? Tekno had a run like that.
Yeah. I think
Duro.
Kiz Daniel had a run like that as well.
Yes.
Kiz Daniel had
Wash,
a run like that.
And then there was Pana.
There was that Laye time. That Laye time and the Jowo.
Yeah,
and they were just coming over and over again.
Good time.
Yeah.
Kiz Daniel did that run, which is important. I see a few young artists and I believe in that code. When in February, drop a song. It's not doing too well. May, drop another song.
After we just say Kiz Daniel, I just remember one thing now.
So that's the code. Keep yourself in people's faces. When radio is jamming one, Tenny did it in 2018.
Yeah.
I'm still over.
But I feel like this thing that
after that
for Kenny
baby
for
wait for me.
Is that Uyomeyo? Uyomeyo
fake
is...
Jesse. Uyomeyo came.
Yeah.
And then back to back, Askamaya.
Yeah.
That year was loaded for Tenny. So that I think that's the thing. Singles market.
Yeah.
In the year, dropped 6 solid singles.
And
someone did it last year, Mayokun.
Yeah, Mayokun.
So
yeah.
That's the thing.
That's why I feel like
works,
it's still a singles
Nigeria,
market.
Nigerian,
I feel like it's still a singles market. And Kojo Fons, the person we're talking about, actually pounced on the singles market thing
because
it was really big. Coach Fons Down Talking, which is the song that Davido sampled a little bit of, but it's good because this sampling is quite it's one of those samples that we really like, special in a way, because Down Talking was actually a very important part in that fall song.
Yeah.
And it was sampled from somebody else.
Yeah.
And this guy was credited from the onset. Kojo Fons actually won a writer's award for that song.
Wow, really?
Yeah. It's recorded. One of those, it's not a
big
award,
but
so for him to be acknowledged, so that's something. And also, he's also credited, yeah?
I watched the song once and I'm like, what are they saying?
Yeah.
I can't connect.
Why we play this song? People
because
understand
again,
what I'm talking about.
It was hard for me to decipher the flow of the song. It was going like twos and threes. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If the beat is supposed to be going in 2-2, 3-3, this one is going 2-2. 2-3, 2-3, 2-2.
Yeah, also talking about for one of the things that I feel like was really good was the promotion of the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the promotion of... Fall.
Fall, yeah.
Fall promotion was epic.
Someone said...
At some point, it was...
Fall was... People... It was in the fall in America.
Yeah.
When
it was
you want
amazing.
To search any music for fall, and you want to search something that follows fall.
Yeah, you'd see that.
And Davido comes up. And then it's something you can dance to and then...
Yeah.
The same thing with Ye.
Ye too. Looking for the Ye album and then that Ye pops up. And also, I know all these things are just perfect timing and... That just reminded me of a song when we were talking about Kiss Daniel and his time of dropping hits on hits. I remember a song he dropped to Wizkid, For You.
I don't know his song.
Huh.
Was it big?
It wasn't big. That's why I'm
was
annoyed.
Was that the song that did a remix with Tiwa?
No.
There is one.
The song goes, "Nothing I cannot do for you." Wizkid vocals on that song was amazing.
Wizkid did a remix with Kiss Daniel when he was popping. There's a remix of...
No, that's not the song.
Good time. You know, Whiskey did a remix.
Yeah.
For you, this song you're saying.
This for you.
I really don't remember.
That's the thing, I don't know. You know, we saw something today when we were talking about Whiskey's album, but I don't want to talk about that now because Whiskey's album is like a different topic entirely. Mm. But like, there was one time where Whiskey was being featured on songs, but like, there were not so much promotion from both sides. Mm. And I don't know whether it was an RCA thing or, you know, somebody was tricking somebody, but I felt like that For You song could have been way bigger than it was because it was actually a very good jam. Although, as at that time, the music was overpopulated, like, in terms of, like, the music, a lot of things were happening in the music scene.
Yeah.
And that song would have, but I felt like that song could have, you know, burst out and become, like, a great thing. But it's fine. You know, one of those songs, Fall from the year 2017, big song, Kid Dominant in all of his greatness, did that beat, and that was a beautiful one from the Good Time album. Now, guess what? These two songs... were not released on an album till 2018 and 2019, but they were released 2016, 2017.
As singles.
So 2 years apart. And that's why I said Kojo Funds was riding on the singles game. Kojo Funds is Errol Bellot from the UK. Mm-hmm. Young guy. Has been in the music business since 21. Big for the UK guys. They love him so much. Trust me.
Maybe
he's one
I
of
should
their
pay
G's.
Attention to the UK.
Yeah, you should. You should get into the scene. He had this...
J-Hoss.
Kid Akuz is a Naija boy.
I know, but then he's in the UK.
I don't like to refer to him as...
This guy's NSG. I don't know, UK guys.
Nana Rogers.
They are in a mix of a lot of things.
Is it Nana Rogers? Nana Rogue? Nana Rogue or some Nana Rogue?
They are mixing Afrobeat with grime.
I love that stuff. I remember
and
the first time I heard.
They are connecting everything, and then Nigerian music is J-Hoss. Probably bigger in UK than it is in the UK.
Makes sense. It makes sense. Because from time past in the 80s too, Nigerian songs were bigger in the UK than in the US. Mm-hmm. So, look at J-Hoss's. Did you see what I see? Do you remember that song?
Came in a white Benz.
Left in a black world. No, okay. Came in a black Benz, left in a white world.
What's the title of that song? I don't know.
Did you see?
There's a song with I think with Burna Boy.
Yeah, Burna Boy, yeah.
Good time.
Good. Burna Boy is good.
There is another one, Boof Daddy, I love it. The Common Sense album, J-Hoss. Nasty.
But UK Connect and Nigerian Connect should not be weird because we have always liked it.
Yeah.
I remember there's one song that is so big in the UK that is not so big here. Shop Banana.
I don't know.
You don't know this song?
I don't know. Burna
Wizkid.
Wait. What year? Long ago.
Last year.
I don't know.
It's not last year, it's 2020. Yeah. Wow. I think early last year, actually, like the January part of the year or something.
Just to wrap up, out of question, unrelated, we talked about, you know, Davido back to back dropping hits. We talked about Kiss Daniel had his time.
Yeah.
He's laid back now. He had to step back somehow. Whiskey.
Yeah, Whiskey always in the genre.
Back to back. At some point, he took a break. Who else? Tenny. Back to back. Who is that guy right now?
The back to back. Miyoko now.
Are you sure?
In Nigeria.
I think it's Belashmona right now.
Nah. Belashmona is good.
How many Miyoko songs are on radio right now? Betty Butter.
Apart from Betty Butter, there's Killer Fresh that just came out recently.
That's not
remix. I don't know if it's that one. That means Belashmoda then.
Belashmoda is the guy right now.
Yeah. Belashmoda.
We are not seeing it yet, but I need him to drop two more songs this year.
Two more songs.
That would be fire.
He probably owns the year.
Rush, Hallelujah, What's the other song?
The new one that just came out. That's no, Russia.
The main one, the main Belashmela song out there.
Vision 2020, Triumphant.
Not yeah, that's one. But he had a song. He has a song with Zlatan. What's the title of the song?
No,
no, no, no. That's Mastercraft's song.
Oh, okay.
The song with
The recent one.
The biggest song he has.
It's Vision 2020. It has to be the biggest song.
How do you sing it? That's not Vision 2020. Let me remember.
It's Vision 2020. I think Vision 2020 is still his biggest song.
Are you sure? But there's one I know. Let me
on that level. There's the new one now. Heist. Some is the vine.
I saw my wrist.
No.
Cash up. Cash up. Now, Cash up is bigger than Vision 2020. What are you saying?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
Vision 2020.
Cash up.
Cash up. Rush.
Then Dangbana show. Dangbana.
Dangbana and Them, whatever.
Yeah, Dangbana something.
And then there is the Mastercraft song, Hallelujah.
But that's what I'm a big fan of. Don't mind me for not knowing his
Someone
doing
tweeted,
that particular song.
Someone should connect Bobby Shmurda and Bella Shmurda for the culture. Someone else added Davido and like, Davido is the only one who can do this. And Davido tweeted, done.
Oh, wow.
This was 2 days ago.
Wow, man.
So, if Bobby Shmurda is coming out of, prison and is being received properly, I'm sure he's going to drop.
He's actually going to be received
Maybe
properly.
Not soon, but whenever he drops, he's going to be well received.
Yeah.
He has to receive, sympathy and respect.
Yeah, that's going
to
work. I mean, that's
it was
the
street when he was out there.
Yeah, that's going to work for him.
So, if Bella Shmurda ever has that US connect, it's probably the next G. Because his talent is undeniable.
Yeah.
He makes that, you know,
and has a unique sound. Davido, you see, we're just talking about Davido all over. Davido, big man. Davido, Wizkid, Burna Boy. I like to just refer to three of them as the trio of African music.
I can't be tweeted one day when Davido's Jawar video hits 10 million, I think, in 30 days. He said, "This is the most disrespected man in Nigerian music." Like, people look at him some type of way, people say a lot of things about him. But he delivers
every single time.
I deliver hits.
Yeah, every single time.
I will leave this music for you.
Hey, he's shook.
Some people say he plays the victim card and all that. But beyond politics, I respect.
I don't care, man. That man gives us good music. You don't have to. You don't have to be a certain way for people to love you.
Yeah, I think we have done.
Do you? I do good.
Production credits.
Yeah, I'll do production credits again.
Who produced Kojo Funds?
Kojo Funds GA produced Kojo Funds. Golden Boy is the album.
Yeah.
For Davido, we have four producer Kidominant.
The album,
A Good Time 2019. Really great album. I love intro from the album. I love animation from the album.
A Good Time or A Better Time?
I think I'm still going to. I should be given like 6 months to sink in A Better Time. But I already know something for sure, though. I don't listen to A Better Time as much as I listen to A Good Time.
Okay, I like Yonder's animation.
Yeah, and I love the intro. That song.
Speaking of Yonder, I don't know. I thought it was with SCPG, but apparently it wasn't.
Who is he with?
He's on some kind of arrangement. I saw one record label recently, but he has a major song. He has one song I like.
I saw a video he did that I really didn't like
with Davido.
I saw a
still
video.
Features Davido, but it's just not with CBG.
I saw a video that I didn't like.
The one
that
with
he did.
Many women.
Yeah,
I love it. I don't know why I love it, but I love it. I don't know. Okay,
this is the first conflict that we're having in this.
So there are two guys that I cannot connect with their vibe. Yonder and Terry Akpala, because of their difference. Listen to Yonder, you can tell. I think his first song was with Davido. I don't remember the song, but you can tell the talent is undeniable. Bella Shmurda's voice. Look at Yonder's voice. Those are unique voices.
Yeah, they're unique guys.
So I respect his voice enough to allow him do whatever he did with that song with so many women, with the fella influence.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I respect it enough not to hate the song or not to say.
Maybe because I think.
And that's on Terry Akpala too. Terry Akpala can do no wrong in my eyes.
Oh yeah.
Because nobody mixes Akpala with hip hop.
Yeah.
So well, like he did. Champagne Shower, Mushi, so many songs. Let's not talk too much.
I feel like at this point, all we need to do is just play the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, Davido 4 and
Kojo Funds.
Kojo Funds.
Don't Talk.
Don't Talking. Yeah.
That's the Sample Access Podcast, episode number 16.
Yeah.
We out.
Hello, it's me again. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Got the boxes, not the bends. Man, I heard them pagans in the ends. EA. And no runaway, I bag him up like we die.
Yeah, I smooth them trees, I free Siri, they gave him 3-5. You, sana, sana. Kujo and Abs in the place, sana, sana. See me on your block like you, sana, sana. They don't wanna war like you, sana, sana. Yeah, go where I wanna like you, sana, sana. Them boy, they know my face, sana, sana. That pagan, yeah, I know he's a runner. Get my white teeth a pepper man for a wanna holiday for the Ghana. Yeah, me done talking. Yeah, me dash them gun barking you.
Banana fall on you, Prada fall on you, cause I'm in love with you. Money fall on you, banana fall on you, paparazzi follow you, cause I'm in love with you. Yeah, are you done talking? Tell me baby, are you done talking? Yeah, are you done talking? Tell me baby, are you done talking? Yeah, are you done talking? Tell me baby, are you done talking? Yeah.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.